Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we'll be looking at verses 27, 28, and 29 this morning. And while you're opening your Bible, three things I learned this week. Number one, parents. No one can guarantee that your children accept Christ. But there are things, there are habits that we can do to turn our children off and to basically make our faith appears something that they don't need or they don't want to have. And of all the things that I read this week, one of the most interesting things is this. One simple tip for parents. Never spend time on your cell phone in front of your children. That's it. Put the cell phone away whenever your children are around you. Move away from the computer. Move away from the tablet. Just make sure that your children know when they're in the room that, what? They are the focus of your attention. Number two, when we talk about parenting, there are two extremes to parenting. There's the permissive parent. This is the parent who thinks that their child should be allowed to learn and to do whatever they want because that's the best way to raise children. It's interesting, but permissive parents seem to suddenly have rules when their child wants to run out in front of traffic. I've seen the most permissive of parents when their child suddenly darts for the street because they're told, just do whatever you want, whenever you want. What does a parent do when they see their child running out into a busy intersection? Suddenly, they say, stop, there are rules. Well, permissive parenting is not good. However, the other extreme is helicopter parenting. And that is where you control every single thing your child does. This is where your child is not allowed to experience anything good or bad. And one of the problems they're finding now in helicopter parenting is the high rate of depression amongst young adults who have been so controlled by their parents that they've never been allowed to think for themselves. The interesting thing, though, is from a biblical perspective, depression is simply sublimated anger. In other words, it's anger that's what? Turned inward. And so, number one, I don't think any parent wants to have an angry child. And if you want an angry child, all you have to do is completely, totally control them. Number two, if you're suffering from depression, maybe you need to be dealing with a problem of anger. And that's just two things I've learned this week. Number three, well, here's the third thing I've learned this week. I like to party. And by party, I mean what? Take naps. If I was to wear a t-shirt, this would probably be the one. I like to party, and by party, I mean take naps. When I was 23, I graduated from college, and I started to work for in the head office of 3M. And what's interesting is college, you basically do whatever you want, whenever you want. You keep all kinds of crazy hours. But suddenly, when I started working for 3M, I had to get up at 5:30 every morning. You cannot go to bed at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. for very long without suddenly realizing that staying up that late and then getting up at 5:30 isn't really that fun. And suddenly I realized I'd come home at the end of the day, and I suddenly found at the age of 23 how much I love to have a nap. And so, naps. Here's the interesting thing. When we talk about the science of napping, I found a website called theartofmanliness.com. Is that not the coolest web name in the world? Artofmanliness.com, how to be a man. And they had an article on 8 reasons why you should nap if you're a man. You ready for them? Here they go. It increases alertness. If you want to be more alert, just have a nap. It improves your learning and working memory. Number three, prevents burnout and reverses information overload. I took a counseling course with Fuller Seminary several years ago, and they said one of the number one ways for type A's to have heart attack prevention was to have a nap. Because type A's are so driven that they have this high amount of adrenaline in their system, and naps reduce adrenaline. And therefore can stave off heart attacks in type A's. So it prevents burnout, reverses information overload, heightens your senses and creativity. It improves your health. and so prevents burnout but improves your health is different. There's another hormone called cortisol, and it's the stress hormone. The more stress you're under, the more you produce this hormone, and it will actually, a nap will decrease that stress hormone. Number seven, it improves your mood. I'm not going to say which one, but we had a child. Maybe you had a child. I'm not tired. I don't want to have a nap. Have you ever had that? Kidzilla, we call them. Suddenly they have a nap and they wake up and what? Who is this child? Number eight, saves money. When you nap, you spend less money on energy drinks and on snacks trying to keep yourself awake. And then two last tidbits in case you're wondering why you want to convince your wife that it's really good to have a nap on Sundays. It's the length of the nap that matters. There's two kinds. I'm just going to give you two. The alert nap. So if you want to stay more alert, here's what you do. You drink a cup of coffee as quickly as you can and then immediately nap for 20 minutes. During the nap, the nap clears all of your neural synapses, and then as soon as you wake up, the caffeine moves in and creates alertness. It's called the coffee nap. But at the minimum, if you want to be more alert, nap for 20 minutes only. However, if you want a brain nap, if you're a student and you're studying, then here's what you do. 90 minutes before a test, nap for 90 minutes. Study, but nap for 90 minutes. And during those 90 minutes, it will refresh your memory and you will actually have better intellect after a 90-minute nap. But anyway, that's not the message this morning. The message this morning is on for those who need more than a nap. And what I mean by that is there are times in my life where I just want to go lie down somewhere. But really, it's not that I need a nap, it's that I want to avoid a problem. I need to talk to someone. I think I'll have a nap. I need to deal with a plumbing issue or something around the house that needs to be fixed. I think I'll take a nap. I have bills to pay, and I'm not quite sure where the money is going to come from. What do? Take a nap. And if you're honest, though, there are situations, talking to your spouse, dealing with a problem child, maybe talking to a coworker, whatever it is, there are times when you need more than a nap. And what I want to bring you to this morning is this wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 11, because Jesus is offering more than a nap. He's offering rest for your soul. So three quick things we want to talk about this morning. Number one, we want to talk about the missing ingredient. The missing ingredient this morning. Here's the whole thing. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 says this. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What is the missing ingredient? The missing ingredient in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 is that if you don't have Jesus, you can have as many naps as you want, but you will miss everything. You can have all the money. You can have all the prestige, all the position. But if you don't have Jesus, you are missing everything. Notice the prominence. Notice the importance of Jesus here in this passage. What has been given to him? Notice, what's it say? All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Notice, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And then notice this. This is the part I would underline. Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Without Jesus, you are missing out. And here's the whole thing. If you're taking notes, number one, here, under number one, the missing ingredient, I believe that there is a spiritual fatigue that comes from searching for God in all the wrong places. We try to pray more. We try to read our Bible more. We try to be good more. But the whole thing is that without Jesus Christ as our Savior, without Jesus Christ as the center of our life, without Jesus as the source of everything, spiritual fatigue will set in. Maybe that's why so many young people are leaving the church today. They've been taught abstinence. They've been taught how to have Bible study while having a glass of beer or wine. They've been taught how to stand up and rock out in worship. But what's interesting, Matt Chandler, who has led several young adults who dropped out of church back to Christ, when he interviewed them, they said this: we learned about abstinence, we learned about keeping pure, we learned about not doing drugs, we learned about the importance of going to church, but we were never taught about the missing ingredient. Who? Jesus. And what we're finding is that our churches that have entertained young people have raised up churchgoers, but not Jesus followers. Spiritual fatigue causes dropout. And the spiritual fatigue of searching for God in all the wrong places will eventually drive you away. You need Jesus. Searching for truth in all the wrong places, trying to be religious but not having Jesus as your Savior. Searching for purpose and meaning in all the wrong places, not allowing God to drive a purpose-driven agenda of your life. Searching for guidance in all the wrong places. Being a Christian without Jesus and without the Word of God in your heart. Everything is found in Jesus because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're searching for God, guess how you find Him? You will find God when you truly find, say it with me, Jesus. That's number one. Number two, you need the missing ingredient, number one. Number two, do you have struggles and burdens? There's two parts to this. The first part to number two, do you have struggles and burdens? Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Listen to what he says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. The word labor means to be totally exhausted. It means to work to the point of complete and total fatigue. I'm trying to overcome this sinful habit, but I can't. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm trying to deal with a problem marriage, a problem child, a work situation, but I don't know what to do. I'm frustrated. Labor is to be totally exhausted. Heavy laden means to be under the weight of something so great that you feel crushed and helpless. If only those who wish, it's interesting, when it comes to the topic of suicide, of great despair, great distress, if only those who wish to take their life could realize what Jesus wants to do. Because when Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, what does Jesus want to do with your anxiety, with your frustration, with your pain? He doesn't want you just to come with it. He wants to do what? He wants to take it. In fact, that's what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Humble yourselves, therefore, when you decide to come to Jesus, come to me. When you decide to come to Jesus and you humble yourself, notice this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. It's an interesting thing, this Matthew 11, verse 28. In fact, notice this. Jesus wants to take your struggles and burdens. Do you have struggles and burdens? Give them to Jesus. But do you need a rest? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First, you need to come to Jesus, and then you need to receive from Jesus. Notice Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Even solve my problems? Jesus says yes. Even take away my struggles? Jesus says yes. Help me understand life's difficulties? Jesus says yes. The whole thing is this, is I'm convinced that there are churches full of people, there are people even in our church this morning, who are frantic, who are frustrated, who are just sitting there with an emptiness and a restless spirit, all while Jesus is just simply whispering, come to me. Just come to me. Give it to me. Let me read the verse again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all who are struggling and frustrated and full of worry, full of anxiety, full of despair. Calling a friend won't help. Constantly talking about it won't help. Lying awake at night won't help. Only coming to Jesus will help, because he and he alone says, I will give you what? Rest. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he says. And so number one, the missing ingredient. You can go to church all your life, but if you don't have Jesus, the missing ingredient. You can have all kinds of struggles and concerns, and yet you can be a very manly man. You can be a very womanly woman. But if you don't give it to Jesus, you will never deal truly with your problems. And that's why we go to number three. Do you need to change? I don't think there's a single person who wouldn't say, there are things I need to change in my life. And the question is not, what do you want to change? The question is, well, Mike, then how do I change it? And the answer is simply this. You need a different approach. You need new habits. You need new priorities. But let's deal with this biblically. Matthew chapter 11. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus says, I'm the one. He's the missing ingredient. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, do you have struggles and burdens? Do you need a rest? Jesus says, come to me and I will give it to you. Number three says, do you need to change? Notice what Jesus says. You've probably already read it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice everything involved in this. There's a relationship. There's a position. Notice also this. There is hope. And then notice there is a true form of what's being offered versus a false form of what's being offered. Notice this. Notice the partnership. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus wants you to rest from the independent life. Just stop. In fact, right now, I'm going to stop. Take my yoke upon you. You need to rest from the independent life. That's it. I could stop right now. Because every time I look at people who struggle spiritually, I guarantee you that they are trying to do it their way. They're trying to do it not God's way, but their way. They want to do it the way they want to do it. And that's not what Jesus says. The first step to change is always putting yourself in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus describes the relationship this way. Take my yoke upon you. Now, what is a yoke? Okay, it's not part of an egg. A yoke is an apparatus, usually made of wood, where two animals are linked together for a purpose. And the interesting thing here is Jesus is offering rest, but the purpose of a yoke is to do what? Work. And so here's the interesting thing. If you truly want spiritual rest, you need to partner in relationship with Jesus. And so now, notice this. Paul himself said, we are co-heirs with Christ. We are laborers together with him. And so in terms of what we want to understand, first of all, the independent life, you need to stop. Stop living your own way. Stop not reading your Bible. Stop not praying. Don't call yourself a Christian if you have no spiritual relationship with Jesus. Just stop. You're ruining our culture. You're ruining everything about the church. If you call yourself a Christian but have no intimate relationship with Jesus, just stop doing it, please. You're making us look bad. In fact, you may be sealing your eternal destiny by fooling yourself into thinking that you're something you're not. However, I want you to be a believer in Christ. I want you to come to Christ. I want you to be a true, genuine believer. And the way that you do that is by partnering with Jesus in a relationship where you take his yoke upon yourself and you decide that you now will no longer live the independent life. See, it's interesting. Jesus says, learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, everything you've been doing so far, if it's not working, why do you do it? Have you ever met someone that's been going to physiotherapy for like 20 years and still walks with a limp? Have you ever met someone that's gone to counseling for 20 years and still struggles with the same problems? Have you ever met somebody who's completely unhappy in their job and talks about it every day for 20 years? What would you say to that person? I'd say to the first person, get a different physiotherapist. I'd say to the second person, you need a different what? Counselor. I'd say to the third person, just get a different job. But see, we don't want to change. And Jesus, when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he's hitting at the heart of the matter, and that may be our stubborn refusal to do anything but what we feel comfortable doing. We want to throw off, and this is our culture nowadays, we want to throw off any form of authority. Okay, how do we put it? I know you know the words. Who are you to tell me what to do? We want to throw off any form of authority, any type of legislated routine. In fact, that's the whole thing. Well, I don't want to read my Bible every day. Great. If you don't want to know what God wants. I don't want to go to church every Sunday. Well, great if you want to violate God's word. We want to throw off any type of unrequested conformity. I did not ask you to tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? See, it's interesting. God's glorious commands actually give us freedom. And the whole thing about taking Jesus' yoke upon yourself, partnering with him, is that you have to work, but you work the way Jesus wants you to work. You strive the way Jesus wants you to strive. You go in the direction that Jesus wants you to go in. You don't just get a break. It's not just like a hall pass where go do whatever you want. Jesus wants you to change from your independent life, but the bottom line is we don't want that. And then notice this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. The word gentle talks about this whole dropping the driven life. If anybody lives the driven life, it's people in the Bay Area. We are hamsters on a wheel, just going, 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 going. Jesus wants you to live the gentle life. There's an attitude here, a non-competition attitude, a non-cutting people off in traffic attitude, a non-my kids have to be the best at everything attitude. And then he says, gentle and lowly in heart. The selfish life. The selfish life is the opposite of lowly in heart, because when you are lowly in heart, you understand the art of serving and putting other people first. And then notice this, you will find rest for your souls. Let me just spend some time on that. The fleshly life, you will find rest for your souls. The fleshly life, so there's the driven life, opposite of gentle. There's the selfish life, opposite of serving. There's now the fleshly life, opposite of rest for your soul. We are so driven by the physical in our culture that we neglect the inner spirit and soul. Let me say this, and I want to say it in a kind way this morning. But this morning, when you were getting ready for church, be honest, were you more concerned with the physical, what other people would see, or with the spiritual, what God would see? Oh, I've never thought of it that way before. Well, that's why we need to change. Be honest. Would you agree with me? 99% of the time when we head out the door, we are more concerned with our physical appearance than what's going on in our heart. We have to make that next appointment. We have to get to work on time. Rather than stopping and apologizing to a child or praying with our spouse. 99% of the time, we get to church and it's instantly, okay, everybody, pretend we're happy. 99% of the time, we are so driven by the physical that we neglect the inner spirit and soul, and you will never have rest for your soul if you're simply trying to feed the physical, the academic, the monetary. The outward physical life is pleasure-driven. I don't feel like going to church because it's not fun. Well, that's not why we go to church. The outward physical life is pleasure-driven. I think I'll do that which makes me happy. I'll do that which I think I should be doing. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. Not if you want true rest for your soul. Because you give God everything and God will give back to you what you so desperately can't do yourself. See, that's the whole thing. I'm not a killjoy. I guess I am the killjoy of all things. But the truth is, what you're searching for, Jesus wants to give you, but in a way you could never imagine. It's called joy unspeakable, peace unspeakable, the peace that passes understanding. So the outward physical life is pleasure-driven. The outward physical life is thing-driven. It breaks my heart to see people boasting about the latest thing they just bought. And yet when you say to them, tell me about your quiet time, how are you doing spiritually? That's, I have no answer. Well, I love to hear people brag about a verse they found. I love to hear people say, you know what, I've been praying for 5 years for this. And I just saw something tremendous happen. The outward physical life is pleasure-driven, thing-driven, appearance-driven. And only when we are yoked with Jesus will we discover true rest for our souls. You just can't do it yourself. You can try. It's very interesting, but when we're yoked to Jesus, this is what I put down in my devotions, in my devotional, my quiet time this week. When I am yoked with Jesus, when I allow Jesus to take me to the things that He wants me to have, when I allow Jesus to drive the bus of my life, Jesus will often walk me right by those things that are screaming for my attention and lead me to the good things. See, that's the whole thing. That's why, parents, put your phone away when your kids are around. Because pretty soon, if you're always on your phone, you're going to be sitting there at the dinner table alone while your kids are doing what? Doing what they thought was more important than you. Only when we are yoked with Jesus will we discover true rest for our souls. When we are yoked with Jesus, Jesus will walk us right by those things that are screaming for our attention and lead us to the good things. First things first. I made that my motto January 1st this year. And what is interesting is that since I have made that my motto of Jesus first every morning, suddenly my priorities, everything suddenly just seems to have a different perspective. Every morning when I get up, the first thing I do, and it's amazing, I know that there are Facebook things on my phone. I know that my calendar is saying, Mike, maybe you should check me. I know that I have emails. I know that last night I missed the final score of the game and I want to turn on ESPN. But guess what I do? I yoke myself to Jesus and I head straight for my recliner and I sit there and read my Bible. Psalm 23. I don't know if I have it in my notes or not. Yep. Jesus wants you to rest. He wants you to rest from the outward physical life. He wants you to come into partnership with Him. In fact, notice this. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm so desperate for rest, for peace, for hope in my soul that I forget that Jesus is the missing ingredient. And I come to this psalm and I suddenly realize that when I'm yoked with Jesus and he is my shepherd, notice the first thing it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, what? Want. In other words, true relationship with Jesus pays rich dividends. It pays fully. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, I get to have a nap. Yay! He gives me what I thought I was avoiding by not doing what he wanted. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, not that rush of frantic living. It's quiet and it's calm and it's peaceful. He restores my soul. You know, I was on fire for God one time, so many people say. I remember coming to Christ and there was passion and there was fire. Where to go? My get up and go, got up and went. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But that only happens when we're yoked to him and we're in deep, intimate relationship with him, where there is no misunderstanding about who is in charge. It's not about anything but Jesus. And so, how to rest your soul? How to rest your soul? Well, write this down. If you want to rest your soul, you need to ask Jesus to change the way you plan. You need to ask Jesus to change the way you prioritize. You need to ask Jesus to change who you participate with. How you plan, how you prioritize, who you participate with. Put away the phone. Turn off the devices. Plan to create community. You need to learn to bond with Jesus. And to learn from Jesus, we have to turn over to him everything. Turn over your life. Turn over your heart. Turn over your family. Turn over your finances. Turn over your future. Give to Jesus everything. And we call this grace. When you completely, totally rely on God, you receive his grace. You are saved by grace. You live by grace. You are kept by grace. I got kind of clever this week. Grace. God's definition. Here's the definition I grew up with. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, God wants to give you salvation. God wants to give you forgiveness. God wants to give you. Why? Because Jesus paid for it all on the cross. But as I thought about Jesus giving rest this week, I came up with this. Grace is not just God's riches at Christ's expense. For those who yoke themselves to Jesus and enter into intimate relationship with him, it's also what? God's rest as Christ energizes. Oh, what needless pain we carry. How's it go? Oh, what needless what? Needless what? Pain we carry. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to him in prayer. God's rest as Christ energizes. Yes, I believe that we have accepted Christ. We understand God's riches at Christ's expense. We understand Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But in your Christian life, have you understood the concept of rest, of intimate relationship with Jesus in the Psalm 23 way, where you can rest because it's Christ who energizes, it's Christ who carries, it's Christ that we give our cares to. Come to me, all who labor. What's it say? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Amen. Father, thank you again that you are a great and glorious God. Thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that Jesus Christ in his incarnation, in his taking upon his deity flesh, came to earth and stood there as God, not with a condemning finger waving at us and saying, loser. No, instead he opened up his arms and he said, come to me. Come to me in your loss and your defeat and your desperation. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And I will give you rest for your souls. Father, thank you for the last part of verse 28. Thank you that we're reminded that your yoke is easy and gentle. Thank you that you remind us that what you're asking for, it demands everything from us, but it gives back so much more. It takes away our shame. It takes away our guilt. It takes away our fear. And it gives us hope and joy and purpose. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus offers rest for our souls. And right now, this morning, right now, what a great time to simply say, I have Jesus, but I do not have this rest. Jesus, help me to find what you are offering, because you've promised that if we search for it, we will find it. Right now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just pray, if you are missing out on the true Christian life, why not right now surrender it all to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give it over to you. May your grace be poured into my life, and may you give me the desire for your things and for your direction, for your will. So, Lord, thank you. So right now, why not today? Ask Jesus to not just to be your Savior. And if he already is your Savior, why not today ask him to be Lord and allow his leadership to fully consume your life? And may you live in obedience as you follow and walk with him. Why not today? Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.